Thank you, Mr. Weens, Mrs. Weens. Really an honor to have you say those wonderful things. Honor to have your support, all of you. So MEI, first of all, also thanks, worship team. You guys just so good. I love our kids. I mean, I feel like they're all my kids, but you guys just so led us into the presence of the Lord. So there's Noel, Laney, and the whole team. Adam, who leads the group, thank you so much. So greetings from MEI. I want to thank you for Mike Borseth. Where's Mike? Mike serves on our board. We're like brothers. We serve on the governance committee together. So we always joke that even if there's no agenda, we just want to meet in those early morning breakfasts just to get together, this group of us. But so thankful for the leadership he's providing, the friendship and support that this church has for years been with MEI. And if you don't know this, I'm a public school educator. I was for 20 years. So in the Abbotsford School District, I was a teacher, vice principal, principal, and I love these schools. MEI is another amazing school where we have this opportunity to, yes, we have athletics and arts and academics. Of course, we're going to do those to the absolute best of our ability. But the thing that separates us is our belief in God. We follow Jesus Christ, the Word of God, lamp unto our feet, right? Just this is the identity that separates us. So under that, Pastor Norm, just gave me John 15. So I'm going to speak from that. But before that, I'll just quickly introduce my family. Sarah and I have been married almost 24 years. This summer it'll be 24 years. She's a grad of 95, and I'm a grad of 91. And then Misha is a grad of 2020. Yes, and Jada's a grad of 2022. Yeah. And then Zoe, who just turned 13 yesterday, she's in grade 7. And Sadie, who is coloring or something, is in grade 3. So our whole family's here. And they come with me because they want to be here. So I just want to clarify that. here's a lovely family quote. So we have this quote, Apple Note. I don't know if any of you use these, but you can share them. And anytime someone says, so you guys are all sweating now because which one am I going to use? But anytime someone says something worthy of being put in the family quotes note, it goes in there. So here's one from Sadie. And this is January of last year. So it says here, after talking endlessly, okay, it was Sarah's birthday coming up. So this is, she's in January 15th. So endlessly about wanting to take her mom on a full day date, right? For her birthday, she's holding on to me tightly in the winter's parking lot and telling me she loves me. And, she's going to take her mom on this date. And, gifts are okay, but, that experience, can I do that? And I said, oh, that's great. Okay, I said, sure. So I said, hey, my birthday's in May. Maybe you'll take me on a date for my birthday. And she says, yeah, or maybe a present. maybe a present for you, filthy animal. It's wonderful to be in a family. I'm so thankful for our family, but I can sense, and we can sense the family of God gathering here, just walking in and the welcome and just this feeling in here. The Spirit of God is here. So it's a privilege to be with the family of God. I love John chapter 15. It starts with, it's all about the true vine, right? The true vine. This nourishment that is provided to the branches from this vine, this nourishment resulting in fruit. Right? If you have to connect to the vine in order for the nourishment to produce fruit, there's this exclusive element, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing. This passage has always been one of my anchor passages. So when Pastor Norm sent this, I was like, oh, I love this passage. When I started reading it, I read it, but I stopped at the first, five words. And it says this, Jesus says, I am the true vine. It's the first time I've read this so many times, and I just stopped there. And this means so much today. Jesus boldly proclaiming, I am the true vine. There is so much messaging out there. Our young people, my kids, your children and grandchildren, us, if you're connected to social media, so much messaging out there. The volume is overwhelming. The content is confusing. What's the truth? Right? Even the news. I suspect there was a time where you could watch the news and think, it's probably accurate. People now aren't even sure if that's accurate, if it's true. So much different messaging, huge volume of it, confusing in content. This is the era that we are leading a school of godly families who want to send their kids, and they're being impacted by all these messages. And Jesus says, I am the true vine. True. I looked up some stats on churches in Canada. 52 years ago, so first of all in the United States, this is a 2021 report by Gallup. 52 years ago, in 1971, 90% of adults identified themselves as Christians. 90%. I don't know if that shocks you, but that's pretty high. Church membership in 1937 in the United States was 73%. Members, right? 1999, any guesses? How much? 30? 70. That's still, again, shocking, I thought. 2021, 47% church membership. In Canada, according to Stats Canada, this is a 2019 report, religious affiliation, so any kind of religious affiliation, in 1985, so 38 years previous, 90% religious affiliation. In 2019, it's down to 68%, and of that, two-thirds would say they're Christians. Okay, so what that means is 43% of the total Canadian population would self-identify as Christians. Now, of those 43%, how many would say that they attend church weekly? What percentage of Canadians attend church weekly? 43% say they're Christians. 10. Yeah, it's 9%. So 9% would say they attend weekly. I just feel like that should be highlighted. In the younger generations of Canadians, 20 to 39-year-old bracket, 18% attend group religious activities at least monthly. They would say they attend monthly. 18% of our 18 to 39-year-olds in Canada, that's 1 in 5. Would say monthly they attend church, or a religious, not even Christian church necessarily. So why is this happening to the North American church? What is it? This isn't a shock to you, right? I mean, we can see the signs all around us. Something is happening. And I'll just tell you, what I've learned is that people respond to authentic, and they respond to integrity. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Even if one doesn't agree with or like another's message or conviction, okay? Even if they don't agree with it, and this is from my own experience, and you know, again, being in public schools for 20 years, I serve on, like, non-Christian political kind of community things and serve beside all kinds of people. They know exactly what I am, okay? I don't hide that. I can't. I'm wearing an MEI, you know, hat everywhere I go, pretty much. So, even if one doesn't agree with or like another's message or conviction, they will respect the person if that conviction is held and presented. See if you agree with it. Respectfully, with courage, passion, loyalty, consistency. Even if they don't agree, if that person presents it respectfully with courage, passion, they're passionate about this thing. There's a loyalty in them. You see consistency. There's an integrity to their message. Now, on the flip, I've learned that people repel a lack of authenticity and integrity. You actually, ugh. And so I would say, even if one does agree with or like another's message or conviction, they will not respect the person if it is held or presented disrespectfully and with a lack of courage, passion, loyalty, consistency, a lack of integrity. Even if they agree with the message, they're going to repel this person because there's like this, meh. There's no passion. There's no. And if you can't even agree with the message, you can at least respect the person because there's something. So here's what I want to ask you today. Did I say something wrong? Because they turned me off. doesn't agree. Like, no, done. I hope this is an encouragement to you, and it has been to me. What do we believe really? Church, what do we really believe? What's it based on? Is it unshakable, what we believe? Or is it bending? You know, the wind blows around. Does it bend, or is it anchored and unshakable? Is there integrity in our messaging today? 1 Timothy 4 gives us a really powerful warning. I want to read this, what Paul wrote here. It says, the Spirit clearly says, now plug this in to today. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, have nothing to do with godless myths, old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Be diligent in these matters. This is verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The Spirit says clearly that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Have you seen evidence of that? Are there messages within and under the name of Christianity that are contrary to the gospel? Have we all seen? I have. There's people that will claim Christ and say all kinds of stuff. Here's a message for this Palm Sunday, this amazing picture of Jesus coming, the true vine, coming down. He's visiting with, Lazarus, who he's recently raised from the dead. This is crazy times. And this is when the anointing of the oil happens on his feet. And, the disciples question, well, people hear that he's coming to Jerusalem the next day, and they start dropping these palms. People are passionate about Jesus. Blessed is he, right? You read, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the king. Dropping this, and here comes this humble king on a donkey. So during this time, here's four questions I want you to consider, because I have. And these are very important to me. Four questions we can ask ourselves during this time of warning, during this time of conflicting messages, during this time of voluminous messaging that is confusing and crazy. So if you're a grandparent today, if you're a parent, if you're an individual, if you're a young person, whatever, whoever we are, if you're married, if you're single, here's four questions I'll ask you to consider. Am I a person of faith? Now, this might just, of course I am. I'm here, right? Am I a person of faith? Well, just a reminder. One doesn't need faith for what can be seen, touched, or measured, right? Is there a table here? Do you believe? Yes, I do too, because I can feel it. I don't need faith to know that there's a table here. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for. Confidence in what passion. Remember I said people respect this passion. Confidence in what we hope for. Faith is assurance of what we can't see. Confidence and assurance. Are we people of faith? Is Mountain Park Church a church of faith? Anchored in faith? Is MEI and our leadership anchored in faith? Question number two, do I remember? This is when I wrote a bunch of stuff here, but do I remember this? 1 Timothy 1, 14 to 15, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, Paul says. The grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly. Grace. Along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus, poured out on me, faith and love, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, Paul says. So, grace poured out on me, Vijay, faith and love poured out on me abundantly. Do I remember this? It came from Christ. It's not something I did. He came to save sinners like me, and I am not above you, friend, in that regard. Do we remember that? I'm not above you in that regard. We are lost together apart from Christ. There is nothing that can be done to resolve the sin issue other than Jesus, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world, who took away my sin. He could take away your sin too. We're all decaying because of it. And you know in your heart that you are too. Your guilt can be washed away only by the blood of Jesus. We can never forget this, right? It's a question for today. Do I remember? I was lost, and then I was found by Jesus. Third question, am I in love? Now, I was tempted to go with some middle school stuff involving my family, but I'm going to leave that out here. Am I in love? Hebrews 7, 23-28 says this, and it describes Jesus this way, holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, who has been made perfect forever. Is Jesus the love of our lives? Is he the passion that drives us? Is he the person of Jesus? Not the concept of Jesus. Not the historical, yes, I believe. Is Jesus the focus of our love? Question four, am I anchored? And if you forget anything else I've said today, this is the thing, and I brought my actual Bible. I've just bought this recently because I'm such a digital guy. Everything's digital, but I bought this and a highlighter, and I'm just going to go right through it once and highlight everything. Because I've read tons of, I've read the whole Bible. But this thing, this book, am I anchored? Is this church anchored? Is MEI anchored? Is your family anchored? I'm a father, so I'll say to the fathers in the room, is your family being intentionally led by you to this? Am I anchored? Question number four. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is God-breathed. Amen? Not every church in North America is going to say amen to that. Is that sad? Is scripture God-breathed? Amen? Amen. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active. Is this just a, like the other books in the library? Is it just a book? Or is it alive and active? Sharper than any double-edged sword. It's day. Reading it changes things. You'll read the same thing 10 times throughout your life and God will speak something new. Isn't that right? 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when you received the word of God, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in who you believe. What it actually is, the word of God. Do we believe that this is the infallible word of God? Amen? Not every church in North America is going to say amen to that. Isn't that sad? So my four questions, again, my reflection I'm sharing with you, am I a person of faith? Don't be offended, please, that I'm asking you. Of course you are. But that faith is in things that can't be. This confidence and assurance looks very different in this world than if we're these sort of, whatever, right? There's all kinds of roads. No, I'm a person of faith, and you can be too. Follow Jesus. He's the one and only way to God. I'm a person of faith. Question two, am I or do I remember? Let's never forget, this Philippians 2 kind of attitude. I want to be humble like Jesus was humble, who being God himself was willing to become a man, not just become a man, but to die, not just to die, but to die on the cross. That's what Jesus was willing to do. May my attitude be the same. I remember I was lost and now I've been found. Question three, am I in love? Is Jesus the object of our affection? There's a lot of competition, isn't there? A lot of competition. And finally, number four, the reflection question is really, as a church, are we anchored? The infallible word of God. All of my eggs are in one basket. I am a follower of Jesus. I believe in this book. I believe that God sent this, and I believe it's alive and active, and I'm never letting it go. Am I anchored? Young people, are you anchored? Because if you don't do that, I promise you, you're going to get pushed all over the place. Suddenly, church council meetings start talking about crazy stuff. Go back to this. No, this is what we believe, and we will not bend. Parents, no, children, this is who we are. If you need to go home and repent and say, you know what, we haven't been sorry. Let's as a family decide how we're going to make this thing the thing. Do it. Because the times are not going to get better. They're only going to get worse. Here's an encouragement. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. I just love this. Stand firm and hold to the teachings. Mountain Park Church, stand firm and hold to the teachings. Don't let it go. So how do we do this? How do we stand firm and hold to the teachings? I'm going to go back to John 15. And this is kind of one of the questions that Pastor Norman sent me. You know, what do? This connecting to the vine, Jesus, holding on. And what tends to happen, I think, and I've seen this, is, you know, in our humble state, when you remember that place that you were in, when you got on your knees and said, Father God, forgive me of my sins, cleanse me, make me right. And Jesus, come into my life, that absolute humble state. And then we grab a hold of that vine, right? Like everything we've got. And fruit starts to pour out. And the risk is you start looking down at the fruit, right? And you say, whoa, look at what's happening. And you let go of the vine and the fruit starts to die and you can't figure it out. We have to hold on to that vine. We have to stay close to Jesus. And for me, connecting to the true vine falls within four general categories. The Word of God, study, meditate, learn, share, teach, be intentional in your home, be ready to, in out of season. I was in Starbucks this morning just getting ready and, you know, I had the AirPods in and the noise canceling. So I was totally in my own zone and this gentleman came up. He's like, says, are you a Bible scholar? I said, no, I'm not. But it's pretty neat. I had to be ready, and God opened a door just because this book was open in Starbucks. It's pretty crazy. The Word of God, for me, connecting to the true vine, one of the main categories, the Word of God. Number two, prayer. Continual prayer. I've referenced this before, but how many of you have seen Fiddler on the Roof? Yeah? Good. You are a Christian church. No, I'm kidding. That's not bad. But, you know, Reptavia, this relationship he has with God, is wonderful, right? It's like there's this honest, open, continuous communication happening. There's another movie that's less known called Lady Hawk, and I'm not recommending it because I can't remember too much about it, but it was like, This kid who's just constantly talking to God is in this medieval times. This continual talk is prayer, isn't it? This open, like the phone line is constantly, you've got the AirPod and it's constantly, the line is open. Prayer, number two. Number three, fellowship and support, connecting with other believers. This is another one for me that's just a critical piece. And we have found this in our own life. Like, the importance of that, not just, you know, where it is Christian people, but all we talk about is, you know, something else. But Christian, godly people coming together like this and encouraging each other with the Word of God, because we're all about this thing and we're growing and then we leave and we come. So Christian fellowship, number three. And number four for me is service. And for me, that is within my church community. And as a family, we've served at our church, you know, as volunteers, and you get involved, do things, and it's all for the glory of God. Serving in our community, similar, right? We're out there because we're light in that place because we're willing to serve. So Word of God, prayer, continual, the AirPods just on, like I call my wife and it's just on the whole day. She'd go insane. But God won't. He wants it. He wants to talk. So prayer, fellowship and support with other believers, service. And I would say my success in these four categories can be assessed based on one word. If I look at my life, how am I doing in these? Because we can all say, I pray. But for me, this is the thing. The one word that I can assess how I'm doing in this connection piece is time. If you look at your calendar, if I look at my calendar, where is the priority for these things, this connection? It's time. And practically for me, some of my rhythms, and I sincerely believe this, and I'll say this to the younger folks in the room, your rhythms will determine what you look like in 5 years. These rhythmic patterns of your life will determine who you marry. They will determine what kind of person you're willing to. They will determine the kind of. They're going to determine a lot of things. Like these seeds are being planted in our lives, and for whatever age we're at, for the next 5 years, what is the rhythm? And this might be a good day to evaluate that. What is the rhythmic when I wake up on Sunday, on Monday, and go through the day? What do I do? And then every Thursday we do this. Where do these things fit into that rhythm? And so one of the couple of the rhythms for me that I've developed and I'm going to continue to work on after this weekend of prepping to share with you is 7 a.m. for me. I show up early at work, and there's about a 30 to 45 minute window where kind of I'm alone. And I if I don't have that, that's the only negative about our mornings, Mike, is they're at 7, and so I miss that, and I actually miss it. But I've created this window that now it's a part of my rhythm over the last number of years that if it's not there, I miss it. And that's my time to pray and do these things. I read a proverb every day. I don't know if you've ever done this, but there's 31 of them, right? And so I just highlight, rehighlight, and go through it. Our life group family for us, you know, the church that we've been in, there's a group, it's become a family of believers. We go camping, and you know, in the evenings there's some kind of teaching, and throughout the day we're playing, there's worship, but it's fun. And yet, you know, that's one of the rhythmic pieces, serving where we need. And I encourage you, when you serve, to do it politics free. You know what I mean by that? And some of us are, God's given us the gift of being politically savvy. Man, you got to somehow put that down and politics free service. And then the other practice I would say for me is just intentional integration. Has to be intentional. Again, fathers in the room, whatever age, whatever has or hasn't happened to this day, intentional integration of who you are. So, in conclusion, Jesus, the true vine. Yes? There's all kinds of garbage out there. This place, is this that beacon of light, of that truth, uncompromising? Let us each one connect to him and never let go. And then let us praise God for the fruit that will come as a result. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this morning, and I thank you for this amazing body, your body of believers in this that meet here regularly. We're part of this enormous group around the world. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would protect this place, that you would protect this group. Father, may your Spirit, as each of us spends time in your Word, intentional time in your Word, to learn and grow as we're talking to you and learning from you, as we're serving, as we're fellowshipping together, may this place be that source of hope for many people around this community. And the fruit that we see as a result of that will give you all the glory for. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.